Okay, this is episode 13, excuse me, in our study of the book of Hebrews. Where were we last week?
Chapter 10.
We actually finished chapter 10. So, what do we talk about in chapter 10? Da-da-da-da-da-da. So don't give up. Press on.
Persevere.
And don't neglect the things you're supposed to do.
And don't what?
Neglect the things you're supposed to do.
Don't forget, don't neglect the things you're supposed to do. Okay, so, excuse me. So we've all, we've had a lot of discussions about priesthood and why do we need a priest? Because we're sinners. Hi, my name's Jerry. I'm a recovering sinner. I've been sin-free for... Darn. Did it again. So, being born again took away your sinful nature. You were forgiven of your sinful nature and thereby made it possible for you to become a son of God. John 1:12, to as many as received him, to them he gave the power, the authority to become sons of God. And that's the path that we're on, becoming sons of God. And, excuse me. And so we're sinners who needed a priest. And we've been talking about the priesthood and the temporary covering with the blood sacrifices. But we know that Torah made no one perfect. Right? Remember reading that? Torah made no one perfect. Keeping rules and regulations doesn't make you perfect, and it's not possible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away your sins. So that was a temporary covering. It was a picture of what God had planned, but he had a better sacrifice. And now we have a high priest who doesn't have to offer a sacrifice for his own sins first. He doesn't have to do it over and over and over and over again every year, reminding us of how short we have fallen. But no, we have a high priest who has entered into the Holy of Holies, to the very presence of the living God, with his own blood, a perfect sacrifice. And there he is making intercession day and night for you and for me. Oh, Father, forgive Judy when she's falling down and being weak. Father, forgive Kat. She was grumbling that other day. Forgive Jerry. He's just a dunderhead. But he loves you. You think that's funny, huh, Kathy?
Yeah.
Okay, you'll be next. We have a high priest who's gone into the Holy of Holies. Let us boldly go into God's presence. And then we had quite a bit of discussion about why we don't go into God's presence as often as we should. I mean, imagine, you have access to the throne room of the living God, the God that created the heavens and the earth. Why don't we hang out there all the time? So what reasons did we give? What reasons did you give? Why don't we go and hang out in the presence of the Lord?
Because I don't have enough faith.
You have to be last. Go ahead, what, Mike?
It's going to cause change in us.
Because it's going to cause change in us. You mean if you go into the light, what happens when you turn the light on in a dark room?
You see the dirt.
The dark slowly slinks away. No, darkness can't abide in the presence of light. And yes, you see all the dirt, you see all the shortcomings, you see your failures. You know, me and Mike, we can go hang out, and we can, I think Mike's an okay guy, Mike thinks I'm an okay guy. Oh yeah, have another beer. We think we're okay. We are, sort of. But when you enter into the presence of God, all of your shortcomings, every thought, every intent of the heart that you've ever had is revealed in his presence. All the dirt. If I go into the presence of God, I have to allow him to change me. What other reasons?
Takes time.
Takes time. We're so busy, busy, busy. I'm so busy, busy, busy. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And everything in this world is geared to make you busier. And you know what? Everything in a lot of church structures is made to make you busy, busy, busy. Because it's modeled often after the world system. We have to be entertained. We're a microwave generation. You know, I could heat water for tea on the stove, but it takes probably, what, 3 minutes, right? Might be even more now. I can get it in a nuke. 45 seconds, it's boiling. Busy, busy, busy. Busy, busy, busy. You know, I've got a minute. Maybe we could do this. It takes time.
We're also an instant gratification society. We want it, we say it, we want it right now.
Want it now, want it now.
Tell us to wait.
Yeah, what's this wait on the Lord stuff? Come on. Doesn't God know I have things to do?
He might tell us to wait for gratification.
Mary versus Martha, right? Mary knew the laundry needed to be done. Just like Martha knew it. Busy, 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 busy. All right, dirt in my life. He's going to make me change. I'm too busy. What else?
We might be given something to do that we don't want.
An assignment.
Yes.
I just know God's going to ask me to do that thing that I don't want to do. Candy sent Chris. Chris likes to do that kind of stuff. He might want me to cut the lawn. I don't like to do that. Chris likes that. He might ask me to do something I don't want to do. How inconvenient. What else? Why else don't we go into the presence of the Lord?
Fear.
Fear of what?
Bruce said, lack of faith.
Yeah, but he has to be last. Fear. Let's say fear of the unknown. We just don't know. Yeah, Aslan's not a tame lion. He does what he wants. I'm going to go into the presence of God. You can't control God. He's unpredictable. I might show up with 3,000 men to fight the Midianites, and he might tell me that's too many. Pare them down. Way too many people. You know what, guys? We're attacking Jericho. And you can't use the mortars and there won't be an air assault. You're going to use trumpets. Trumpets? Are you kidding? So unpredictable. I mean, we're escaping from Egypt and he guides us to a dead-end block. With a giant sea in front of us. He's very unpredictable from man's perspective. So I could be scared. But what's it all come down to, Rudy?
We don't believe that he has everything for us that he says he does, or have enough faith.
So we don't really trust God.
Really trust him.
And that's the definition. That's
what we ask for.
That's a definition of trust.
Yeah.
That God's intention toward us is good. And that's the first lie that the enemy brought to Eve in the garden. Did God really say that? There is no way he meant that.
Sometimes I don't go because I don't really believe that he's going to give me what I ask for.
might not give
I'm not
you what.
Asking for a selfish thing, or even for my wife, or something else.
Okay, so I'm going to ask God for something, and He's not going to do what I ask Him, even though I'm asking in faith.
Right.
So then, I don't trust that God really is on my side. Why wouldn't He answer my prayers? Of course, there's a lot of reasons He always answers your prayers. Sometimes He says no, but we don't like that as an answer. So when we say God didn't answer my prayers, what we mean is God didn't do what I wanted Him to do. And we don't have enough information to make wise decisions on what's really good in our life. We can't see around a bend. Nevertheless, we're not willing to yield leadership of our lives. So you could boil all of these things down to we lack faith. We don't trust God. And guess what the journey in your life is all about? Learning to trust God. That's the whole deal. You could boil the entire Christian walk down to learning to trust God in all aspects of your life. And when you say to God, when you said to God, I surrender, the white flag went up. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loves me and gave Himself for me. It was not Jesus looking for a lost sheep. It was a prisoner exchange program. You gave up your life. Therefore, it is no longer your life. And now He, who is completely competent, capable, and has the best intentions toward you, is systematically working through your life, through situations and circumstances, to form you into the image of Christ. I said something, that was Tuesday morning, right? There's this counter at Danny's place, and it's like 8 feet long. And I said, like, we know eternity's forever, okay? But let's say that was eternity. And now take like a little knife slice someplace, and that's life on earth versus 8 feet long. This life is like nothing, but we hold on to it like this is real life. And so the difficulties that come, oh, I got this, oh, I got a hernia now, oh, my, I get this lump over here, what am I going to do? And we get all wound up like this is it, you know, and I'm not making light of those things. I've had grief in my life, as all of you have, in some manner or another. I've had difficulties, and I would expect I'm going to have some more before the ride's over. But the reality of it is, compared to what is coming, it's nothing. It's less than nothing. But we are so distracted to believe that that's it, that we forget about what's coming. We don't trust God. And our walk with the Lord through whatever circumstances or situations is custom built, more and more as you yield to Him, custom built to form you into the image of the Messiah, that you will be jointly fit into the body. You know how they built the temple, the first temple? You know how they built that? It was all made out of stone, right? But you know there was no sound of tools at the temple. All of the individual stones were fitted, built in a quarry at a different location. And as the temple was built, they just took the pieces and fitted them right in. All the work was done in a wilderness area. That's what's happening to you right now. God's working on you now so that you're going to fit perfect into the temple, and He's going to inhabit us. You with me? Mm-hmm. That's really, really, really what's going on. And the best way to get formed into that image is to spend time in the presence of God. He is boldly, he's made it so that we can enter into his presence, and we need to boldly go in there. Not demanding, but more like with great zeal, boldly. Here I am, Lord. I'm ready for today's lessons. I'm ready. And yes, I am scared. But I'm willing to lay my life down at your feet because I know your plan for me is better. And when I do that, listen, I at any given moment, I have a gazillion things going on in my life. With 6 kids and 23 grandkids and 1 great-grandchild, I have a lot of assets spread around the planet that I can't protect. And I don't like it. How many assets does he have scattered around? But he's in control. I need to yield my life and my people's lives. Present myself before him that I can be changed into his image. Let him fire that fire up. Let him scoop the dross off. That's where it happens, in his presence. Let us boldly go into his presence. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of realities that are not seen. For by it the elders received commendation. I keep reading it condemnation, but they did not. Commendation. All week I've read that wrong. By faith, we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen did not come from anything visible. No matter what the scientists tell you, nothing did not blow up and make everything. God spoke everything. And it was created from something that wasn't there. So I guess that means that God operates in faith. When he spoke, he knew it would happen. He had great confidence in himself. By faith, Abel offered a better sacrifice than Cain. What kind of sacrifice did Abel offer?
Lamb. Blood.
Blood sacrifice.
What did Cain offer?
Fruit.
Lamb.
Beer. He brought hops before God.
Tofu.
I don't think so. It was tofu, right? That's possible. God looked at it and said, "What is this? I did not make this. This is not right." And God made the lamb. Maybe it's how he brought it, too. I don't know. There's not enough information. But Abel brought a sacrifice of faith. Here's my best lamb. I love this lamb. I'm going to kill this for you. By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain. Through faith, he was commended as righteous when God approved of his gifts. And through faith, he still speaks, although he is dead. And you know what? Cain could have recovered from that. He could have taken the rebuke and learned by his mistake. But he hardened his heart and sinned. By faith, Enoch was taken so as not to see death. And he was not found because God took him. For before he was taken, he was commended as pleasing to God. Now, without faith, it is impossible to please God. For the one who comes to God must believe that he exists and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. So if you're going to go into the presence of God, you know, the nations that surrounded Israel, the Hebrew people, one of the things that they made fun of Israel about was that their God was invisible. Where's your God? Where's your God, huh? We have Dagon. We have Balaam. We have, what do you got? Our God's invisible. So you have to actually believe that he exists. And he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek after him.
So you have to believe he's a good God.
You have to believe he's a good God. And it back to entering into his presence.
In the RLV, which is the really long version, it says you earnestly and diligently seek him.
Diligently seek him.
Earnestly.
Earnestly. Yes. I agree. It's not this casual thing. Listen, believe me, we're having all this conversation about entering into the presence of the Lord. I promise you that if you will faithfully, tomorrow, if you'll spend time and go into the presence of the Lord, you know what will happen? Nothing. Nothing's going to happen.
Well, forget it then. Why do you say that?
Because I know how God does business.
Well, maybe. It's
the ways of the Lord. What I mean by that is, all right, God, I'm going to spend time with you. Speak to me, Lord.
Well, then you're telling me what to do.
What to do.
Ah.
You can't do that.
All I'm saying is, don't be discouraged if you begin to boldly go into the presence of the Lord and you don't feel goosebumps. You don't get some great revelation. Because God's not your servant. And if you enter into the presence of the Lord and nothing happens, go back later. Go back again. Go back again. Go back again. I promise you, if you will diligently seek him, he will speak to you. He wants to speak to you. Well, if he wants to speak to me, why didn't he do it when I showed up? Because you're not in charge. And that's the way he does business. That's what I meant. You may well go into the presence of the Lord tonight, tomorrow, whatever, and he might just usher you in and set you on his lap. Me, a lot of times when I go there, I got to go there. I got to go there. I got to put my time in. It's just the way it happens. Because the one who comes to God must believe that he exists and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, when warned about events not yet seen, in fact, never heard of before. It's going to what? It's going to rain? It never rained before that. In holy fear, prepared an ark for the safety of his household. How long did it take Noah to build that ark?
About 100 years.
So for 100 years, he was pounding nails.
People were laughing at him all the time.
People were laughing at him. There's crazy old Noah.
What if he stopped before it was finished?
Then there would be a lot less books in the Bible.
And nobody to read them.
And nobody would be able to read them.
There wouldn't be nobody here.
They would actually be wet.
Gave up.
Right. The porpoises will inherit the earth. Yeah, by faith, Noah, when warned about events not yet seen in holy fear, prepared an ark for the safety of his household. Through faith, he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteous, of righteousness that comes by faith. So by his very action, and by the way, it's not just Noah that condemns the world. Every one of you is condemning the world every day that you walk with the Lord. And I know that it's sad, but there's tons of people that are going to go to hell. And I don't mean to speak of that in a trite fashion, but God has revealed himself through the whole creation. And through multiple witnesses on the planet. And there are people that think that if God was really a good God, he would save everybody. Remember we talked last week and the week before. The blood of Jesus doesn't save you. It's the faith that you have in the blood of Jesus that saves you. If God filled heaven with people that didn't really believe, what would we have? We would have earth. We already have that. That's what we would have. Heaven would be contaminated and it would look just like this. It would be filled with people that don't believe, and the battle would rage in the heavenlies as it now rages in the earth. God is not lowering the standard. You're going to enter in by faith in the redemptive work. Yes, the just shall live by faith. You're going to enter by faith in the redemptive work of the Messiah, the high priest, with a better offering, or you're not going to enter at all.
So is that why you had to create a new heaven and a new earth, because it's already contaminated?
Can't answer that question. Above my pay grade.
Friday,
maybe. Because of Satan there.
I don't know. I don't know. Maybe he's going to create a new heaven and a new earth because he wants to. I can't say. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place he was to receive as an inheritance. And he wasn't able to Google it. He did not know where he was going.
No GPS.
No GPS? Well, he did have a GPS. Goat positioning sensor. You follow the goat along the trail, and wherever it goes, that's where you wind up with. So by faith, Abraham obeyed, and he, when he was called to go out to a place he was to receive as an inheritance, he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he migrated to the land of promise as if it were foreign, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. For he was waiting for the city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. Are we building our kingdom here?
Sometimes we do.
You know, I asked some years ago, how many of you want Jesus to come back? And everybody raised their hand. But the reality of it is, the people that really, really want Jesus to come back are the people that are in financial pressure, they're being persecuted, or they're really sick. And the people that least want Jesus to come back are teenagers. And you know why they don't want him to come back? Because they haven't had sex yet. They haven't had their own house yet. They haven't had their own life yet. And they think they're going to get gypped.
If they only knew.
Right. Because we all have a tendency to build our own little kingdom. Things are going pretty good. Lord, could you come back in 10 or 15 years? Things are going my way. Woohoo! It's crazy. It's nuts. That's because we don't go boldly into the presence of God, or we would realize how much better it is with him than it could ever be here. On my best day, when everything's going perfect, whenever that might be, I still have to deal with me. I still have to battle my mind. I have to deal with my physical body. It's a battle here on earth.
That's why we need to have our minds transformed.
Need our minds transformed, renewed. We need a renewing of our mind. You know, it's like the scripture says, we have a wicked heart, a useless mind, and rags for righteousness. And that's our good points. That's it. Fallen. So, by faith he migrated to a land as promised, as if it were foreign, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. For he was waiting for the city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. I hope that that's what you're waiting for. And the longer you live on earth, I hope the more your heart yearns for what he's got planned for us. Whether you have difficulty on earth or God's blessing your socks off, I hope that you're not deceived by the counterfeit. because that's what it is. It's a counterfeit.
Sounds like New Jerusalem.
What's that?
Looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God.
Yes, the New Jerusalem. By faith, even Sarah herself received ability to conceive when she was barren and past the age, since she considered the one who had made the promise to be faithful. After she laughed. Well, she laughed because she thought, that's ridiculous. How could that be? And God's like, oh, yeah, just wait. And then she believed. Woo! Sorry, didn't mean to mess with you, God. She considered the one who had made the promise to be faithful. And he is. So, from one, and him as good as dead, were fathered offspring as numerous as the stars of heaven and as uncountable as the sands on the seashore. These all died without receiving the things promised, but they saw them and welcomed them from afar, and they confessed that they were strangers and sojourners on the earth. For those who say such things make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If indeed they had been thinking about where they had come from, they would have had an opportunity to return. But as it is, they yearned for a better land, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. So, here we are, strangers and sojourners on the earth. And by the way, in the midst of being a stranger and sojourner, God prospered Abraham. He was very wealthy. But that didn't make him yearn for anything of this earth. He knew there was something better. If God blesses you, and I hope he blesses you, don't allow that to distract you. You're just as desperate in prosperity as you are in adversity. We need him. Verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. Yes, he who had received the promises was offering up his one and only son, the one about whom it is said, through Isaac's offspring shall be named for you. He reasoned that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, and in a sense he did receive him back from there. So here's Abraham, okay? Abraham and Isaac is the best First Testament picture of the Messiah. So Abraham's an old guy. How old was Isaac?
34.
Right. Don't pay any attention to any of the little books with Isaac as a little boy. Isaac was probably anywhere from 30 to 40. He was Jesus' age. And how old's Abraham now?
100 plus.
130. He's pretty darn old. And God has promised him that all of the offspring, that his seed is going to be raised through Isaac. Not Ishmael, through Isaac. And that all the promises that God has made him are through Isaac. And one day, while Abraham's hanging out, playing dominoes, I don't know what he was doing, Parcheesi. God says, Abraham. And Abraham goes, Hineni, here I am. Well, what is it, Lord? He says, listen, I've been thinking, I'd like you to sacrifice Isaac. Make him a burnt offering. Now, the rabbis say that he just jumped up and got ready to do it right away. I'm not convinced. But there's not enough scripture. But I could see him wrestling in prayer and finally trusting God and believing that whatever, God, I don't understand this, but you're God and you're good and I trust you. I don't know why you would ask me to do this. I don't know why you would allow this to happen. But here I am, your servant. And then there's also the faith of Isaac, Because I'm pretty sure the 33-year-old could have taken the 130-year-old. You want me to do what? But no. The Father sent the Son, and the Son was willing to go. Well, so
Isaac would have said, you know, when he was at the point of sacrifice, where's the...
Yeah, where's the lamb? Well, God will provide his own lamb. Indeed. So by faith, when Abraham was tested, he offered up Isaac. Yes, he had received the promise, was offered, the one about whom he received the promise. He was offering up his one and only son, the one about whom it was said, through Isaac, Isaac's offspring shall be named for you. He reasoned that God was able to raise him up from the dead, and in a sense, he did receive him back from there. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau, even concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, as he was dying, blessed each of his sons, each of the sons of Joseph, and he bowed in worship while leaning on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when his end was near, made mention of the exodus of the sons of Israel and gave instructions about his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw he was an extraordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. This guy's living in luxury. All of his people are slaves, but he's living in the king's palace. He didn't have to defend that other Hebrew. He didn't have to do anything like that. He could have just hung in there and had the happy life. But no, he decided he was going to do the right thing. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Instead, he chose to suffer mistreatment along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Are there pleasures in sin?
Of course.
Yes.
Very passing.
But they're not long term. They don't last. They're passing pleasures. He considered the disgrace of Messiah as greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to the reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger, for he persevered as if seeing the one who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and the smearing of the blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch them. That was like putting a target on your door, saying, here's where all the Hebrews live. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as if on dry ground. When the Egyptians tried it, they were swallowed up. Well, it worked for them. Mm-hmm. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were circled for 7 days. By faith, Rahab, the prostitute, did not perish with those who were disobedient because she welcomed the spies with peace. And what more shall I say? For time would fail me if I tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets. By faith, they conquered kingdoms, administered justice, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war. 3,000? Nah, too many people. Send them home. And made foreign armies flee. Women received their dead, raised back to life, and others were tortured after... Wait a minute. Women received their dead back, and others were tortured. These are all people of faith. Why do bad things happen to good people? That's not right. So some were tortured after not really accepting release, so that they might obtain a better resurrection. Others experienced a trial of mocking and scourging, yes, even chains and prison. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were murdered with the sword. They went about in sheepskin and goatskin. They were destitute, afflicted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered around in deserts and mountains, caves and holes in the ground. And all these, though commended in their faith, did not receive what was promised, because God had provided something better for us, so that only with us would they reach perfection. So listen, I believe the Lord's coming back anytime soon. I really do. But I could still die in my faith and not see that fulfilled. Because I just don't know. But I've got to live my life in obedience to God. Spend that time in His presence. Enter boldly in there. And allow my faith to swell and to grow. Be formed into the image of the Messiah. And be pleasing to my Father. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. Amen?
Amen.
Chapter 11.